women by pretending to be a Harvard student. Clark challenges Will's friend by asking if he can provide some insight into the evolution of the market economy in the early colonies. Will, observing Clark's mini-academic disquisition on the economic modalities of the southern colonies, jumps into the conversation saying, "Of course that's your contention. You're a first-year grad student. You just finished some Marxian historian, Pete Carrison, probably. And you're going to be convinced of that until next month when you get to James Lemon and you're going to be talking about how the economies of Virginia and Pennsylvania were strongly entrepreneurial and capitalist back in 1740. That's going to last until sometime next year. Then you'll be in here regurgitating Gordon Wood about, you know, the pre-revolutionary utopia and the capital-forming effects of military mobilization." When the grad student begins quoting from the monograph Work in Essex County, Will completes his sentence and gives the page number. As the bar patrons look on with awe, Will accuses the Harvard student of trying to impress the girls and predicts that in 50 years he may start thinking for himself and realize that he has spent $150,000 for an education he could have gotten for $1.50 in library late fees. In this devastating exchange, Will has knocked down three historians in quick succession, leaving only the great Howard's Inn standing. Matt Damon, who played the titular character in Good Will Hunting, was a young neighbor of the Zinns in Cambridge, Massachusetts. He and his brother lived with their divorced mother, an education professor, who raised her boys with a deep social consciousness, according to Zinn. When Damon was 10, he took the family copy of the newly published People's History to school and read from it to his class for Columbus Day. And Matt Damon is far from the only American kid who was bought into Howard Zinn's take on our history. Zinn's version of our past, from the discovery of America, Columbus committed genocide, through slavery, worse here than anywhere in world history, the founding of the United States, white slave owners scheming to preserve the status quo, World War II, the Allies weren't any better than the Nazis, and Vietnam, yay, plucky commies defeat the evil American war machine, is widely taught and believed. In fact, it is becoming enshrined as an integral part of young Americans' beliefs. And no wonder. A people's history is taught throughout our schools and colleges. A Young People's History of the United States, Zinn's history adapted for middle schoolers with simplified sentences, but the same content, tells young readers that Zinn's radically different version of history was adapted for them because of parents' and teachers' demands. But some adults might object because they feel that young people are not mature enough to look at their nation's policies honestly. If students aren't given Zinn's book, they may read passages from his work in other books. For example, if they check out young adult books by John M. Dunn from the library on such historical topics as the Vietnam War, the North American Indians, and the Civil Rights Movement. Each of those volumes contains extended passages from A People's History of the United States, which is listed in the works consulted, and is described as an unorthodox history told from the perspectives that are often overlooked by mainstream writers. Dunn presented Zinn as a respected historian. And there's good evidence that the College Board, which is becoming an unelected national school board, setting curricula, and just as important, largely replacing states and localities as the shaper of both textbooks and teacher training at the high school level, via their frameworks for the Advanced Placement, AP U.S. History exam, promotes Zinn's version of history by including his books in AP teacher training seminars. For years now, teachers have used a variety of editions of A People's History with discussion questions, exercises, lesson plans, and activities. Many of these activities involve role play, a favorite in-class activity of the decidedly non-intellectual Professor Zinn. Students at San Antonio College, to give just one example, learn history from an instructor who